preached. Nita has been here at Grace for, I don't know, a while now. She's a spiritual director and a retired therapist, and she's also an experienced preacher, so I'm going to ask her to preach today.
Good morning. On this blustery day in the Pacific Northwest, as we all sort of watch what's going on outside there, thank you for joining us. Last week in our gospel text, Jesus was in the synagogue reading from Isaiah, and he declared God's Spirit was on him, that he was bringing good news to the poor, releasing captives, restoring sight, freeing the oppressed, and proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. This week in the Common Book of Prayer, the Common Book of Prayer invites us to consider Jesus as an infant. I'm not sure who organizes these writings, but Jesus is an infant, still in diapers, being presented at the temple to fulfill the law of Moses. Here a devout man, Simeon, sees Jesus and declares, "My eyes have seen your salvation." Then the prophet Anna, who spent her time in fasting and prayer, sees Jesus and speaks of redemption. So before Jesus could walk, before he could talk, before he could proclaim his mission, let alone heal the sick or raise from the dead, Simeon proclaims, "My eyes have seen salvation." The Greek word for salvation is soteria, which means deliverance, preservation, safety. Many of us have associated the word salvation with what we will experience in eternity. We learn Jesus saves us from our sins and brings us into right relationship. In the Episcopal faith formation, we're taught, and I quote, "Salvation in Christ is made available to us through the Spirit, especially in the life and the sacraments of the church." We think of Henry's baptism a couple weeks ago, for those of you who are here. And each week we hear the bread of life, the cup of salvation. Some of us have heard of Bishop Buddy's sermon that was preached at the National Cathedral the day after the inauguration at the prayer breakfast. Kate referenced that a little bit last week. She brought our attention to our nation's need for unity and said that that unity, that foundation of unity, was based on dignity, honesty, and humility. Dignity, honesty, and humility. I believe her invitation was akin to an altar call, a time for us to decide if we will align with the dignity, honesty, and humility we are afforded as the children of God. Do we believe? Do we really believe what Jesus proclaimed when he read from the scroll and the life he offered up for all? The bread of life, the cup of salvation. Dr. Lisa Miller from Columbia University is a Jewish research psychologist who wanted to know if there was actually a spiritual center to the human brain. She defines spirituality as having a relationship with God, with the divine, or the universe. That which is beyond us, but always very much with us, and offers insight. And after 10 years of research, her team found it. Brain scans show that when this part of the brain is activated, people know they're not alone, that God is with them, offering love, insight, wisdom, and community. I believe living in this spiritual center, with this spiritual center activated, is the salvation we need to live into unity. This connection to God, who is for us, always with us, offering wisdom and community, is now imperative. Without knowing that God loves us, without first watching how Jesus served with humility, cared for the outcast and the poor, our ability to unite with others is limited to our own capacity. And I don't know about you, but mine is limited. And the cost of offering mercy and grace to walk in humility in our grasping, greedy world is beyond my capacity. But when we are baptized into the love of God, we draw from a resource that goes beyond ourselves. A resource that goes beyond ourselves to offer dignity to others. Then we're safer to speak truth and love and to walk in humility. So what does that look like? The following are examples of what this saving love has looked like in my life recently. I start my days, most days, with 20 minutes of contemplating the love of God. I take a slow, easy breath, hand on chest, hand on belly. Right? God, you are love. And today, I receive your love. God, you are joy. And today, I receive your joy. God, you are peace. And today, I receive your peace. And then in my imagination, I settle into a cozy cabin. That's where I connect with Creator, Son, and Holy Spirit. Some may call this heresy. But this is how I live into the Psalms. Happy are those who dwell in your house. Happy are the people whose strength is in you. And on one particular day, in November of last year, like some of you, I woke up feeling highly distressed, and I ran straight to the cabin. I could almost feel the wind howling and branches crashing. Cold wind soaked my clothes. I reached the cabin. I threw open the door, and I said, "There's a storm out there." And in my mind, heard God say, "Yes. Yes, dear one. And that's what these walls of love are made for. Yes, dear one. That's what these walls of love are made for." And looking up, I saw a long, long table heaped with food where all were welcome. I entered the courts of the Lord. I was not alone. My heart calmed. And I was afforded a perspective that reminds me of a familiar quote from J.R. Tolkien. The world is indeed full of peril. And in it, there are many dark places. But still, there's much that's fair. And though in all the lands, love is now mingled with grief, perhaps it grows the greater. My angst of that day was fueled in part by the community I live in for the past 6 years. My kind friends who welcomed me into their home have also welcomed 7 Guatemalan refugees. Watching them greet each one, watching them greet each one as they walk through the door over these years has broadened and deepened my understanding of what it means to offer dignity, mercy, to walk in love and humility. They will tell you this has been their great privilege, and their capacity to offer refuge was empowered by God's love. God's love for them that pours out happily onto others. Father Thomas Keating writes, "The power of the stars is nothing compared to the energy of a person whose will has been freed, who is thus enabled to co-create the cosmos together with God." This connection with God, this connection to God's love, is my salvation. It's our salvation. This relationship is our sure foundation that equips us with dignity, honesty, and humility, desperately needed now, and to be sure in the days to come. My hope for us is that we all have places to consider and talk about this love of God and how it saves us. I hope as days go by that I hear your stories of how God's love has saved you. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.